is every Sunday, but it's you came on a good day. Some of you have been coming for the better part of 32 years to all kinds of places where this congregation has gathered before it had this space. Sometimes it's good, I think, for us to be reminded of what it is that brings us together, the common purposes that draw us here, as Randy reminded us just now. I'm going to read two scripture lessons this morning. The first one is from Genesis, the second one from 2 Chronicles, as we think about what it means to come together and cultivate a sense of God's presence. Jacob left Beersheba and went toward Haran. He came to a certain place and stayed there for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and lay down in that place. And he dreamed that there was a ladder set upon the earth, the top of it reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And the Lord stood beside him and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you and to your offspring. And your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And all of the families of the earth shall be blessed in you and in your offspring. Know that I am with you, and I will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Then Jacob woke from his sleep and said, Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, How awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And now reading from 2 Chronicles 6, where King Solomon dedicates the temple. Then Solomon said, The Lord has said that he would reside in thick darkness. I have built you an exalted house, a place for you to reside in forever. Then the king turned around and blessed all the assembly of Israel while all the assembly of Israel stood. And he said, Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who with his hand has fulfilled what he promised with his mouth to my father David, saying, Since the day that I brought my people out of the land of Egypt, I have not chosen the city from any of the tribes of Israel in which to build a house, so that my name might be there. And I chose no one as ruler over my people Israel. But I have chosen Jerusalem in order that my name may be there, and I have chosen David to be over my people Israel. My father David had it in mind to build a house for the name of the Lord, the God of Israel. But the Lord said to my father David, You did well to consider building a house for my name. Nevertheless, you shall not build the house, but your son who shall be born to you shall build the house for my name. Now the Lord has fulfilled his promise that he made. For I have succeeded my father David and sit on the throne of Israel, as the Lord promised, and have built the house for the name of the Lord, the God of Israel. There I have set the ark, and which is the covenant of the Lord that he made with the people of Israel. Here is the reading from God's holy word. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. God, we pray for the gift of your Spirit, that it would be present in this place, that it would surround us, that it would stir up our hearts and our minds, that we would be attentive to your presence in this place. That we would know what it means and what it feels like to be gathered together in your presence. Help us, God. Be present to us. Search us and know us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm not too young to remember going to the kitchen, frustrated, looking for the tinfoil to wrap around the rabbit ears on the black and white television that I had in my room. So judging by the laughs of about half of you, I guess I'm probably, there's some of you that remember this as well. The slightest movement to the left or to the right or to the front or the back was the difference between clarity and fuzziness. I had to get out of my bed, change the channel. And then I would get the rabbit ears just right for the new channel that I was about to watch. I would get it just right. As soon as I take my hands away, it would go fuzzy again, and I'd get it just right. And then I would turn around and get back into bed and look up at the TV, and it'd be fuzzy again. And God forbid somebody stomp on the floor or bump into the TV and you had to start all over again. My kids don't even know that there used to be shows you had to wait for the time for it to come on or sit through commercials. They'll never know the struggle of an antenna. I think this is something of what it's like to discern God's presence. What does it mean to put yourself in God's presence? In moments of deep decision-making where I'm trying to discern the right thing for my life, or when I'm stressed out or when I'm afraid or anxious, I go looking for the presence of God, and it's like I'm trying to attune myself, to get myself in just the right place to receive the elusive signal from God. And maybe if I can get to a majestic spot in nature, or I can get to a vista with a beautiful view, or I can have some silence, which is rare. Or maybe if I listen to a favorite piece of music, I can capture that feeling of being in God's presence. For a moment, the picture will come in clear in the midst of the fuzziness. So I know what that feels like. I know what it feels like. It's happened to me before where I've felt the picture come in clear. I felt like I was in the presence of God. I know the overwhelming sense that God is here. God is present to me, of being overwhelmed with gratitude and joy, of being connected, somehow feeling connected to something that is so clearly beyond me. The problem is how little control I have over when and how and where I can put myself in that space. I can't seem to make it happen. No matter how much manipulating I do of my surroundings, no matter how many candles I light or how much scripture I read, the Spirit of God that stirs up a sense of God's presence in our spirit cannot be manipulated. Our first scripture lesson from Genesis shows us that this is what happens to Jacob. In the middle of a place where he least expected it, Jacob has this amazing experience. His dream is of a ladder stretching all the way up into heaven with angels of God descending up and down. And in the midst of this darkness, of this wilderness, God comes to Jacob in a very real way, even though it's in a dream. Jacob hears God. He hears God's promises. At a moment when Jacob's not sure, when he's not certain, when he's wondering if he's all alone or if there's anybody out there with him, God comes to Jacob and promises to be with him. Wherever you go, I will go. I'll be with you. I will be faithful to you. Jacob wakes up. He's sure that God has been there. And like any of us do at a place that becomes a special place where we felt God's presence, he marks it. Marks it. God has been here. This is a holy space. It's worth celebrating. The picture came in clear for a moment here. He takes the rock, anoints it with oil, and sets it up as an altar, a place where God and the earth meet. Surely God was in this place, and I did not know it until this moment. In some sense, I think this is why we build church buildings. We need a place like this where we can eat together, and we need a place where we can meet together, and where we can do ministry together. But also because we believe that if we create the space, if we fancy it up, if we make it beautiful, if we fill it with music, if we put art on the walls, if we hang a cross here and there, that these will be the things that are the physical reminders that this is the God we're hoping to experience when we come here. And if we do all these things, if we put it all together right, then we'll create a sacred space, that this space will somehow be different from all the other spaces that we inhabit. A space that we can come when all of our attempts to get ourselves in the right place, to attune ourselves to the presence of God, seem to be failing. We want one space that we know this is where God shows up. But the danger, of course, is that we confine the sacred to the space. Like when I was a kid, the whole of the church building was a place where you could run or where you could laugh or where you could play games with your friends, but not the sanctuary. Why? Because this is the holy place of God. This is the place where God shows up. But if we can find the sacred to that space as if what we do or how we do it or where we do it casts some kind of special spell that invites the Spirit of God. We've limited the sacred into a confined space. And actually what Scripture tells us is that all things were created through the one we worship, and that without Him not one thing came into being. Everything is holy. All space is sacred space. All creation testifies to the glory of God. And we learn in the Hebrew Bible that eventually God gave the people instructions for how to build a temple. That's the piece in 2 Chronicles where Solomon has constructed this long awaited temple to be built in Jerusalem. There will be this spot where the people can go if you want to be in the presence of God. If you wanted to be sure that God was with you, you could go there. Before there was this temple, the people believed that the special place that you could go to be in God's presence was under a tent. And when the tent of meeting, right? You remember this from Sunday school? And when the people had been led out of slavery in Egypt under Pharaoh, and Moses was taking them to the promised land, only Moses could go into the tent, into the Holy of Holies, because that's how intense and powerful it was to be in God's presence. And the Bible says that Moses would go into the tent, and he would come out, and his face would be shining because he had been in God's presence. But there's a difference. It's interesting, the difference, the evolution from a tent and a big towering temple and a big towering temple to churches with steeples and windows and walls and instruments and pews and people, because a tent is easily moved. The Ark of the Covenant has been moving along with the people. The Ark that contains the two tablets on which Moses has written God's promises has moved with the people. They take it with them wherever they go. They take this physical reminder of God's presence with them wherever they go. But now it's going to be stationary in the temple, Solomon says. I put the ark here around in the midst of stone and walls. But what does it mean to have a reminder of God's presence that's mobile, that you can take with you? What does it mean to always have with you a reminder that God is faithful? Wherever you go, whatever you're going through, whoever you're with, a reminder that God is faithful. That's what the Ark of the Covenant represented. The promise that God has made to God's people. So in some sense, we come here to worship. And soon enough, we'll have more space which to worship. And there's a certain reverence about the place that, itself. There's a certain, I would wager for those of you who've been coming here for any amount of time, there's a feeling that comes over you when you walk into the space. But I'm also positive that the feeling that comes over you when you walk into the space has nothing to do with the building. Nothing to do with this space. It's about what has taken place in the space. It's about the important conversations that you had with people that brought you closer to them. It's about a piece of music that filled this room in a way that moved you. It's about the familiar view that you normally have, you don't have today. The familiar view you have of the table, the pulpit, your friends, because you all sit in the same seats normally. I know you do. That's how I know you're not here. It may have even been a sermon or two that stuck with you, shaped the way you feel. Whatever you felt, when you felt those things, it's important to call it by the right name. When you felt that feeling, what you felt was the picture coming in clear. What you felt was the presence of God with you. God, that God was real and near to you in a given moment. And this is what we want to feel all the time. We want to feel all the time this sense that God is at our elbow, that God is right here and near to us. We want to feel, it feels so moving and so stirring to be in God's presence. We want to feel that feeling all the time. And when we come here, what it does actually is orient us, helps us to know what that feels like. What does it feel like? It gives us a kind of, you know, we talk about muscle memory. It gives you a kind of spiritual memory. That's what it feels like when God is near to me. We're shaped and we're formed when we come here in such a way that not that the sacred is limited to this space, but we come here so that we're able to name what it feels like when the sacred draws near to us, so that we can call it by the right name when we leave here. Does that make sense? So that when we go from here and we are all of a sudden find ourselves in the presence of God, in the midst of a moment, we can stop and say, I felt this before. And I can stop and I can give thanks and I can give praise that I have got the picture coming in clear for a moment, and I don't have to work for it, and I don't have to strive for it, and I don't have to wonder about it, but that God is here. And the thing is, it can happen anywhere. It can happen at a stoplight. It can happen standing over the kitchen sink. It can happen in a hospital room. It can happen at a funeral home. It can happen while you're pushing the lawnmower. It can happen while you're folding the laundry. It can happen when you're looking around a table at good food and people that you love most of the time. It can happen when you're holding a sign at a march. It can happen when you're praying like you mean it. It can happen in all times and places. So when we come here, we're just learning the right words, the right names, the right way to see what is happening to us all the time. You come really so that when it happens, you can call it what it is. And when you hear it, when you feel it out there. So that not that this is the spot, but so that you can, like Jacob, say, surely the presence of God was in this place, and I did not know it. But here marks the spot, wherever I'm standing. Amen.